time for the Molloy Drive Show podcast. Make every race this spring carnival even more exciting with Ladbrokes. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
Hello, Australia. Welcome to the big Friday edition of Molloy. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Mickey. How are you?
We're going to boot home another great week with a brilliant show I'm proud of already. I've got a couple of the regulars going around. Clown of the Week up and running.
Yep.
Go on, call us, 1-333-53.
Sure.
Gone Wild.
Oh, it's back.
A rare Friday appearance, and it's all about the fat snakes.
Yes.
Trust me, the fat snakes, a two-headed tortoise, and a $300,000 fish. That's all I'm saying.
I'm in.
All right?
I'm listening.
You have to get there yourself. A couple of big interviews. Sonny Bill Williams has a new book
out.
Wow. He's going to swing by for a bit of a chat. What a career.
Yeah, you bet.
Over so many codes and different disciplines.
Unbelievable.
That will be a page-turner. Dom Knight from The Chaser joins us to talk, Sydney Freedom Day, ScoMo. Is he agreed? Is he going?
He's going to Glasgow. He's going to the climate summit. It's happening. Happened about an hour ago, the announcement was made.
He's off to Glasgow, a hard city. I've been there. I'll tell you all about it.
All right.
Yes. Choose your pubs wisely. We've got a bit to get through. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. We'll get cracking.
Let's get into it for a Friday. It is Molloy. Yep, Clown of the Week is up next. Who do you nominate? 1-333-53. Might win a prize.
This is Molloy. There are many contenders.
Phil McCracken.
Brigerton.
That fellow down under.
Kane has a bulging disc.
But who will it be this week?
It was a shame how he carried on.
Time to reveal.
Yeehaw!
Clown of the Week.
That's my catchphrase, by the way.
It is not your catchphrase. I don't even have the whip ready. You can do it again.
Yeehaw!
There you go.
Still wasn't quite tight enough for my life.
Yeehaw!
No, jeez, Dave.
See, if you had your own whip, you could do it at your own time. But
yeehaw! Are you deliberately ruining my catchphrase for your own ends?
Boom shakalaka.
You can't do boom shakalaka. That's completely off.
Oh, but yeehaw's okay for you. All right.
Let me say it first. Yeehaw!
Just half a beat off, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't do it properly. Hey, Clown of the Week, 1-333-53. Yes. Let's get involved. There's a few to get through, if we could. Where do you want to start?
Wherever.
Tyson Fury, for his rendition of Walking in Memphis immediately after beating the suitcases out of another bloke. Have a listen.
Great fight. October 9th, 2021 will go down to history as a great fight, I hope. And I got one thing to say. Put on my blue suede shoes, baby. Boarded the plane. A touchdown in the land of the Delta Blues. In the middle of the pouring rain. I was walking in Vegas. I was walking with my feet on the field. I was walking.
Who's got the energy to build that out after 11 rounds of one of the great bouts?
Punched in the ring and then...
Of all time.
Amazing.
Did you just do a punched in the ring joke?
No, that's...
Did you just say...
No, I didn't do it as a joke.
After 11 rounds of being punched in the ring?
No, that's what happens in the ring.
Yeah!
I've got a clown horn here. There you go.
You don't horn me.
I've got to go to all these separate... I'm like Murray Tregoning on Hey Hey, It's Saturday. I've got all these cartridges here. I've got to pop in the machine and find it at the one time. So don't just spring them on me like that.
Oh, but they're all first world problems, I've got to say. Do you know what? We had a caller on our show, didn't we? We did.
Oh, yeah, I remember
this. It was at Triple M's Got Talent.
Tradies Got Talent.
What was it?
Tradies Got Talent.
Tradies Got Talent, where tradies rang up and sung for us. And one of the tradies...
Mark.
I think he... Did he win?
Yeah, have a listen.
Put on my blue suede shoes and I boarded the plane. Touched down in the land of the Delta Blues in the middle of the pouring rain.
Hang on, let's go to the pool chorus. Go. Hit us with the Walking in Memphis.
Walking in Memphis.
Yes.
Was walking with my feet 10 feet off the bill. Was walking in Memphis.
Mark. Ah, that's gold. Well done, Mark. He should have won if he didn't. Connor's on the line. Connor, who do you want to clown?
The guy from Tassie who left hotel quarantine and now put us in lockdown.
Mate, you're calling from Hobart, obviously.
Yes.
Now, he's going to be popular around town, isn't he? So the bloke's escaped from quarantine and all of Hobart now is in a 3-day lockdown.
Yeah, Southern Tassie.
Southern Tassie.
Have they found the guy? Have they found him?
Yeah, local Woolies.
Oh, okay. So he's
done Woolies. What aisle was he in? Oh, six, buying toilet paper, I guess.
Exactly.
Well, that would have been he'll get a warm reception when he finally gets out, I'm reckoning, if I know the good people of Hobart. Duke him, Dave.
You've got a case of Brick Lane Draft on its way across the Spirit of Tasmania, on its way to you, Connor.
Yes,
thank you, mate.
On its way. Good on you, mate. Damien's on the line. Damien, who do you want to clown?
G'day, Mickey. First time caller. How are you?
Good on you, mate. Yeah, good.
Good. I want to clown the Melbourne supporters that got into WA and now are in jail.
Went to WA via Northern Territory and now got 10 months in jail. Sitting there having a think about it. Was it worth it? One might ask. As I said, I was wondering about the Melbourne supporters in jail. I won't like the food.
No, not at all. Not used to that.
I want
kind
the degustation menu.
Yeah.
When's the sommelier come round?
Not going to happen. I need fluffier pillows than these, sir.
I don't want a mint on their pillow. Excuse me.
That's right.
Excuse me, roommate. Did you take the mint off my pillow?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take that as a no.
Yoink. Out in the exercise yard, they'll be doing Zumba. They'll be doing Pilates. They'll be doing Pilates.
Right.
What do you mean,
style.
Like the exercise yard? What do you think? Oh, a bit of Pilates.
Doing some yoga lardies. Ah, well,
we've organised an escape. It's digging a tunnel? No, helicopter.
Boink.
They are a bunch of idiots. 133353, you get the idea. Get involved. Clown of the week, it's up and running.
Driving you home, this is Malloy.
Clown of the week 133353. Get involved. Who do you want to clown? Do it right now on Malloy, Triple M.
What about the stripper who revealed on TikTok that she takes her son, child, to work with her?
Yeah, that's not.
I know that's it's got to get it by any way you can.
No.
As I said, as long as it's not in a baby Bjorn, that would make it kind of difficult.
It's a bit unhygienic having a kid in a stripper bloody joint, isn't it?
You'd have to get off the lap for a lap dance, obviously.
Okay. Whitney?
Hey, one boob each. Guys, one boob each. You have the left, I'll have the right. That's the. And, okay, here comes Mum as she comes out dancing.
Oh, okay, a little bit of...
That's Mum. And here comes the little one. Baby.
Something for everyone.
Right, I don't have many rules, but I reckon that'd be last drink.
Yeah, lights on. Out you get.
Yeah, no, that's it, everyone. You had your fun.
Yeah, that's right.
For the day. Hey, here's a good story I like. Mm. The Dubai World Expo. Can we clown them?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because they've got a 3D replica of the Statue of David.
Wow.
In the pavilion. But they've covered him up. You can only see his head because I think it's because it's Saudi Arabia or Dubai.
Oh, okay, righto.
And they're a bit squeamish about the whole genitalia thing. Let's have a listen to the report.
We have planned to do the position David statue the way it is now to our pavilion at the end of April, in the middle of Ramadan, by the way. And nobody ever questioned, so nobody from the Emirati side or from our side ever thought about making any change in our original plan.
You can't do that.
No.
Yeah, it's nude. He's a nude. You've got to see the tiny wang.
That's, big balls.
What are you covering
art.
Him up with? It's not like he'll be pitching a tent behind that.
But we all know what's there. You know what I mean? It's not a big surprise. You know what it looks like.
Don't do it for Ramadan. Make a feature out of it. Call it Ramadan a Ding Dong. Have it. And just, open the gates. Let's all go have a look. Get it out.
Well, I'm with you, mate. I'm absolutely with you. It's world class. Everyone knows the Statue of David and what it's about. No need to cover it up. No. Well,
tiny wang.
I think that was the size back in the day. I think, as you know, we've
evolved. It's not going to have anyone's eye out, is it? It's not going to.
Not, he did undercook him a little bit. As I mentioned before, big balls, but tiny.
If you can.
It's true, though.
Yeah!
Oh, don't do that to me. I don't have my... Here it comes. Righto.
Graham's on the line. Graham, who do you want to clown?
Okay, I'd like to clown James for his solo today.
Oh,
please.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Far away. What did he get wrong?
Well, he reckoned the Titanic was the biggest Lego set in the world, which is 9,000-something pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's a Lego Art World Map, which is 11,695.
Nerd alert! Graham, have you made it yourself?
No, I haven't got it yet. I'm working up to it.
Let's get Brickman. Get Brickman on to sort this out. Remember, he made me a Lego microphone.
Still here.
So, Graham, 11,000 pieces. Imagine how big the brochure would be for that, and the guide.
Exactly.
Lots of pages. Lots of
yellow pages. Jeez.
Yeah.
And imagine if you had 11,000 pieces, but you get to the end, there's one missing.
There's one missing.
That would get you. Duke him, Dave.
You've got yourself a case of Brick Lane Draft. It's on its way to you there in Gladesville.
Graham.
Thanks for calling, mate. Appreciate that.
John's on the line. John, who do you want to clown?
G'day, Mickey. Go to Tigers.
Good on you, mate.
Panthers, mate. The Penrith Panthers.
For damaging the trophy?
That brilliant trophy that they got awarded, and it should be taken off them.
Yeah, you're dead right. Duke him, Dave.
All right, a Brick Lane on its way then. A case of Brick Lane, 24 beers.
You're right, John. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things. You're giving away these very precious things to people who are pretty drunk and in the mood to party.
That's right.
So it's not the brightest thing in the world to do. You should give them a replica.
Good
they
idea.
They won't even know. They'll be that
exactly
drunk.
Right.
That's right.
Just give them a replica. There you go, guys. Knock yourself out. This happens in a lot of codes. Matt's on the line. Matt, you... have an interesting story regarding the AFL Grand Final. Care to discuss?
Yeah, g'day, Mick. Dave.
Hello, mate. What's the story?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to clown the AFL sort of this far on, but I defaced the AFL Cup back in 2000 when I was in the RAF roulettes. We put a sticker underneath it the night before.
On the bottom of the trophy?
Yeah, inside. And of course, when James Heard lifted it up, it was still there, and it's for the whole world to see. If you look at most of the photos from that year, still see the roulette sticker underneath it. And I have to say, the AFL was very, very unhappy.
Hey, it's not like you're advertising. It's not like Dermot Breton putting a loaf of Tip Top in it. You're actually the RAF roulettes.
Right,
were you out at sale, were you?
We were, and I think the only thing that saved us, Mick, was that, one, the press thought it was highly hilarious and suggested the AFL was jealous that they just didn't think to put Coca-Cola or something underneath it.
Good point.
Yeah. I think what really happened was that the RAF chiefs, I don't think they thought it funny, but they, I guess they were of the opinion that if the AFL was dim enough to give the cup to the bunch of seven strangers the night before and not think to give it the once over before the big dance, it was
their fault. Done the flyover, had you?
That's right, yes.
Well, an interesting side note. My father was in the RAAF roulettes. You may be aware. He was out at Sale when you were based at Sale, and you had the Mackies. He was flying the Mackies.
Yeah,
he's still got the Mackies?
No, the Mackies are retired, Mick. They've been replaced by, after that was PC9s, and it moved on to the PC21s these days.
Well, there you go. Well, go and look him up. Keith Malloy, a.k.a. Masher Malloy, I believe.
I will. There's a reunion coming up, and I'll check him out.
I'll tell him to come along. He might turn up in his ultralight. Good on you, guys. That was Clown. What are we coming back with, Dave?
Well, we've got some music news, big day in music worldwide, and you're going to get the scoop right here on Malloy in just a moment. Then Sonny Bill Williams is going to join us. Then Dom Knight from The Chaser, Gone Wild.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Now across the nation,
Malloy's music news.
Yeah. There's a bit to cover here. We're music, rock, comedy, sport.
That's
what we are. We've got the sport coming up, which is Sonny Bill Williams. Mm-hmm. We've had the comedy up, which is Dave's catchphrase. Yeehaw! Mates, you've got to...
Just give me a half a beat of an idea. Just play that. It's like, give me a... I've got to go over to the machine, press the button like this.
Oh, geez. It's like going down a coal mine 14 hours a day.
You just think,
mate?
I have this almighty at my fingertips.
Yes. You're working in a sweatshop, that's what you are. Triple M sweatshop, the salt
mines. We should do a job swap one day and get you behind the panel and see how that rolls.
Cool as a cucumber.
Oh, can you imagine?
Unrufferable.
Can you imagine? That would be hilarious radio. You take it.
Yeah!
All right.
Imagine, don't go a righto and fumble for it.
But I've got to get to... I'm sitting in the middle of my little desk in my wardrobe at home, then I've got to go over to the button and press the button, and then I've got to come back to where I'm sitting. So don't just pull it out of nowhere. Yeehaw! That's how it works. Dave's catchphrase, by the way. Boom shakalaka's the other one.
Boom shakalaka's not yours. Jesus. All right. Hey, there's a bit of news to cover.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney's lost his mind.
Firstly,
he's dumped on John Lennon. Suggesting, of course, that...
He instigated the split for the Beatles. Split.
And now he's turned on the Rolling Stones. He's called the Rolling Stones. Well, I'll let him describe the Rolling Stones as recorded in the BBC interview. Is it BBC interview or is this in
an article in the New Yorker? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's take a listen.
I was a little bit surprised. Paul feels that the Stones, a group that he loved and they were contemporaries, were basically and are basically a blues band. And I think Paul, even after all these years, is a little bit competitive. And he's become the kind of conservator of Beatles history. And as a result, he's still trying to straighten out, in his view, all kinds of questions, including who broke up the Beatles.
What he actually called them was a blues cover band.
Yeah. Yes, but they are. I mean, their roots are blues, the Rolling Stones. Of course they are.
Yeah, but he's called them a blues cover band.
Well, they did a lot of Chuck Berry, as did the Beatles, by the way. Did a lot of Chuck Berry numbers back in the day.
No, I think he's saying their songs are so highly derivative of blues masters that you can basically call them a blues cover band. Is that the way you're reading it?
I'm sort of hearing it as a bit of a nod to that's where it all began with the blues, and they've mastered. Oh, Whitney doesn't agree.
No,
they've mastered the sound
Dave.
Of it. I mean, let's remember the Beatles wrote the Rolling Stones' first ever hit they ever had. I Want to Be Your Man. That was a Beatles written song they gave to the Rolling Stones. That got them on their way. So this whole Stones Beatles thing, I think it's a bit of a no story.
Hang on, but if Paul McCartney's coming out and saying the Rolling Stones are a blues cover band, you can't go, oh, that's a beat up. He's saying he's diminishing their legacy as a bunch of white boys pussing around trying to do the blues and not doing it. Yes. Yeah.
I don't agree with that. We'll agree with
that. He can say that, but then again, Keith Richards and Mick could retort, yes, but we didn't write Meat Free Monday.
Meat Free Monday. It's a fun day.
You make a good point.
Hey, while we're on the Rolling Stones, the Rolling Stones have been told, or they've decided to drop Brown Sugar from concerts because of the lyrics which involved slavery, and there's been, the cancel culture has got to them, and they've been asked not to play it. The second most played song in their repertoire behind Jumping Jack Flash in concert and live, and I can't think of the Stones without thinking
not
of Brown
at all.
Sugar.
I hate this world we live in sometimes, this rubbish that we've got to put up with,
Down in the old days, things used to get cancelled at the time. So we go, you can't do that, or that's been pulled because it's too rough. But don't worry, one day down the track, people will be sophisticated enough to understand the timing of it and understand it. We're going the other way.
Mm.
It's like something... Isn't it better to understand the song in context of when it was written and how
I'll make up my own mind. Thanks.
To me, it's like the burning of the books. You know, these guys are as bad. The cancel culture is as bad as the McCarthyisms. Anyone, if you don't agree with us, we just want to ban what you got. Jeff's on the line. Jeff, you're upset about this.
G'day, Jeff. Welcome to Malloy. How are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are we?
Good, man.
Yeah, good. What do you think about Rolling Stones dropping Brown Sugar from the US tour?
I think it's pretty rough. They've been playing for, 50-odd years. I can't see why they would be doing it,
I mean, is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
Mate, if it was up to Neil Young and they said, drop Cinnamon Girl, he'd tell them to get stuffed.
Oh, you absolutely would.
That was stuffed, definitely. Wasn't it? Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Took him, Dave.
A case of Brick Lane Draft for you there.
We get the idea.
Lovely.
Can everyone calm the farm? I don't agree on everything. You can look at something and go, I don't like that, or that's offensive to me.
Yes.
But I can understand in historical context or when it was. Does my head in. Adele, big news, Dave.
Yeah.
Adele has released her new single, and since 9 o'clock this morning, 10 million views.
Oh, Whitney was bloody tweeting and frothing at the mouth over it this morning.
Frothing at the mouth, I'm overexcited. Yeah!
Okay.
And do you want to have a little glimpse of the new single? Here it is.
Easy on Me.
Oh, Dave?
No.
That's my new karaoke song.
That's your new karaoke
song. That is
song.
My new karaoke song.
I like it, and I think it's great, but I do think it's been lifted from another song by Maroon 5. I don't mind
spending
it. Dave, got a little bit of She Will Be Loved about it. No, just wait for the chorus. Here it comes.
What is wrong with you?
Don't you think a little bit? She Will Be Loved, Adele. Write some original material.
You're comparing
Listen,
my
here it comes.
She will be loved.
Now, Adele.
Oh, no.
Same song.
No.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to come back with some more music news
yes.
after this.
All
Dave,
right.
Dave, see me in my office.
Oh, Whitney's furious.
Wherever that is.
It's Molloy on Triple M.
With the program, Toots. This is Molloy.
Now across the nation,
Molloy's music news.
It is music news part two, Molloy, here on Triple M.
Well, haven't you caused a furor, Dave? Late clownings have been flying in. They phone lines are chockers. Typical is Jake. Jake, what's your issue?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, Mickey, is it too late to clown Dave for what he just said about Adele and Maroon 5?
Adele and Maroon 5. It's sacrilege. Adele is
How
one of
is
the
it
giants.
Sacrilege? That's all music. No one's better than the other.
Well, ridiculous. No, they're nothing alike.
They're nothing alike, Dave. You're a goose.
Oh, no. Have a listen. You got Easy on Me, which is the new Adele song dropped today. And this could be Adam Levine right now. She could be loved. Or she will be loved.
That's my new karaoke song. Mickey!
And she will be loved.
Dave, you've lost your mind.
Nah, this is a Adele line.
You lost your tiny little pea brain mind.
I'm not hearing it.
Jake, you're right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate you calling out idiots when you see them. That's not on. By the way, Adele proved this week she's not that great as an IT expert. Here she is on Instagram trying to get it to their settings.
Oh, I've never done this before. I keep having to scroll down, but there's just so many. See, I don't know how to use all of this. It's asked me to send a request. That makes me frightened. It's asked me, I don't know. It's asked me to go in someone else's room. I don't know. What room's that? I can see you all writing on there. Troy says he can help. How's he going to help? Well, yes, Alicia, I do need some help. I can't figure out whose room. Someone's trying to take me into a room. I've got to go because I've got to do an interview. I've got an interview at midday and it's midday now. I love you. Do you know what? Let's see if I can get out of this. I'll be logged on in forever.
Let's not forget Mick Molloy have very similar Instagram issues.
And what will happen on a tile? All of a sudden I can't control. I'm not in control. All of a sudden now I'm watching something else I didn't even want to watch. So you're on the story side.
Yeah.
F*** you all. It's really surprising. Call me old school, but I like a tile. More people would look at a tile, wouldn't it?
Yeah, more
people. So why would you put it on a tile?
Because you can have an instant swipe-ups. You can't do that on a tile.
Which I don't like. Yeah, I don't have any swipe-up. Would like the answers in front of me if I could.
Don't listen to
that. Such a showbiz arsehole.
Really starting to shit me, Dave. Hey, there's new Coldplay and news.
Right.
Guess what? Their next tour is going to be eco-friendly.
Okay.
Listen to this. Right. My God. Partly powered by a dance floor that generates electricity when fans jump up and down.
Ooh.
And pedal power at the venues. Oh. Yeah, I tell you what. If you want all the lights on from being finished, what about reacting to booing? Boo!
I don't want to go to a show and pedal. What are you, nuts? No. I want to sit there and watch the band.
Sit there and pedal while they keep it up. It'd be interesting to see which songs are popular or not.
Yeah, exactly right.
Just the pedal slows down.
Well,
all
if they
of
play
sudden,
Yellow, then no one's going to be jumping up and down when they're belting that one out. Or the scientists
jumping up and down. No. That's unbelievable. Hey, Pink Floyd frontman Roger Waters has married his fifth wife.
Ooh, okay,
saying finally a keeper.
All right, not off to a good start.
I don't know if that's going to go down well when he gets home. You might find she's not a keeper. That was just the title of my next album.
Yeah, that's right. You might throw another brick at his wall.
Yeehaw!
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
Mick, this is a book that, this will be a page turner that no one will want to put down. Sonny Bill Williams got a brand new book called You Can't Stop the Sun From Shining, which is with him and Alan Duff. It's available as a hardback, ebook, and audio book. And Sonny Bill Williams is joining us right now on Malloy here on Triple M.
Great to be here.
Welcome.
Well, I'm looking at you. You're in the gym. I hope we haven't called you mid-workout because I don't want to stand in the way of greatness. You've been busted working out. That's why we never run into each other because, well, you're in the gym, basically. Congrats on the book. And for anyone who loves sport, and especially sport in this part of the world, in Australia, New Zealand, and we love it, this is one of the great stories. Before we get into your achievements, why did you decide now is the time to put pen to paper and tell people your story?
Hanging up the boots at the start of the year obviously gave me a bit of time to do, you know, something of this magnitude for myself. I've been asked to do a book for a while now, and if I'm honest, never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I'd be writing a book or working on television. But from a athlete's point of view, I understand you need to be uncomfortable to get the growth, and to be able to work with a guy like Alan Duff, who wrote Once We Were Warriors, was a special thing as well.
What a collaboration. Well, Brave Decisions is no stranger to you and your history. You've taken on every challenge that's ever been thrown at you to play rugby union, rugby, of course, for the All Blacks, and then with Canterbury, win a premiership. Mm. You've done it all, played overseas in union, gone on to tackle the world of boxing. When you look back at it, and I'm interested with people who have code hoppers. I don't. That term doesn't sound entirely right. But is there a favourite moment, or if you could only choose one, could you tell us what you would do?
For myself, when I talk about, you know, your favourite sporting moment, for me, it's more, I guess, what's given me that happiness. And for me, it's off the field. It's you know, do with my faith overseas and what all of that gave me off the field, which is, in a sense, just happiness.
Well, you would have been off Broadway and out of the limelight overseas compared with playing for the All Blacks, which is one of the great sporting teams in the world, and we know what it means to that nation. Talk about the pressure associated with playing at that level for the All Blacks in New Zealand.
Yeah, it's the number one sport in New Zealand. Every World Cup that the All Blacks has entered into, they've been the favourites by far. Up of pressure through expectation, there's a lot of pressure to perform. And with that added pressure, you understand for myself, what drove me to the heights of making the All Blacks was the challenge, because I understood that you're up there with the best player in your position in the world. I always seem to thrive on the big stage, but if you read my book, you understand that that process, being able to deal with the pressure and things that came with it, didn't come easy by any means.
Who do you want to read your book? Who's going to benefit most? Is it aspiring athletes, or is it young boys and girls who can learn life lessons from you, your triumphs, your mistakes, and all that? Who do you think is ideal to hand this book to?
I'd like to thank everyone in all walks of life. You know, when I look at that book, the reason why I'm so proud of it is that if you read it, despite the many highs that I've been able to achieve from the sporting field, you still understand that this guy, well, that I'm a work in progress. Despite the picture perfect, I guess, sometimes that we think of athletes performing at their prime, I still had a lot of struggles and a lot of demons. And that's, you know, from where I came from probably the decisions I made, but I've been able to turn it around and put just as much effort into what was my sporting career, into myself as a human being. I guess I'd like to think that anyone could pick it up and have a good read, from a sports lover, just from a person that wants to understand that, well, just because this guy looks like he's achieving so much on the sporting field, he's got a lot of demons and struggles just like me.
People say the same thing about me and my muscles. Sonny, did you ever bust the NRL trophy? You won it for Canterbury. What about these idiots who are running around town and trashing the trophy? Yeah. Is it? What do you make of all that?
I think they're just excited to have it, man. You know, these are
we can forgive them, can't we?
When we talk about younger sportsmen and sportswomen, they're just a reflection of society. They're just young people. And did you make mistakes growing up? I know I did.
Oh, yes. You know, yeah. hey, that's another whole book, Sonny.
Exactly.
Mick Malloy's Big Book of Mistakes. That's like War and Peace. That comes in three volumes. Hey, mate, what's up for you next? You know, I'm so glad you've written this book, and it's such a great story,
I can't wait to read it,
it's a great one to tell, and it'll be great to read. But what's next? I know you're not going to kick back on the porch and smoke a pipe. What are you up to?
You know, putting myself out there because I represent my people, you know. I understand to get the growth that I want to be and where I want to achieve and who I want to affect, especially my kids, I want them to understand that you need to be uncomfortable because there's no growth without it. So whatever it is, it's that. But then also with my faith, it's being where my feet are and being grateful for what I have. And it's uncommon that someone with my platform, especially playing NRL in Australasia, is so vocal about being a Muslim. And I think for myself, I'm unapologetic in that sense because I know what it's given me. It's helped me turn this the wildness into positivity.
Well, good luck with the book, which is going to be a real page turner if you're in a lot of sport. You Can't Stop the Sun from Shining by Sonny Bill Williams and Alan Duff. I'm going to have to let you go because I can see you in the gym and I can already see a couple of little love handles on the side and a little pot belly. And is that a second chin? Oh, he's shaping up, team. I better get off.
Sonny Bill Williams, the book is out now as hardback, ebook, and audiobook now. Great to have you on the show, Sonny Bill. Thanks so much for joining us here on Molloy.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
A huge second hour coming up as well with one of our favourites. He is Dom Knight from The Chaser. Been a bit going on overseas regarding The Chaser as well, so we might delve into that with Dom coming up.
Gone Wild.
And Gone Wild, of course. Yeah, we've missed it yesterday.
Some big animals. Fat snakes.
Fat snakes and fat bears too, I see on the rundown. So a lot of fatties in the animal world, it seems.
How can a bear be fat?
Well, I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll discuss it.
Yeah, it's coming
up. Next hour. In the meantime, here it is.
Dave, the Song Whisperer.
I've got a disclaimer.
Dave's two segments. Your other one, Dave's Corner, again today. It's no better than yesterday.
Oh, it's dropping
bombs. Potty mouth rant.
Dropping bombs everywhere. So I do another explicit
one. It's a huge story.
But I've got a disclaimer to make with today's Song Whisperer because I was very busy. I was out of home most of the day today, so I've had to bring in the sub. As in James, the assistant producer over here, senior producer now. So he's helped with the Song Whisperer. I've gone over it and I've agreed to it and I've ticked it off. So
is he doing it?
Well, he can do it if he wants.
Yes, I'd like him to read it out. Well, it's not your work.
Well, okay. Well, I just thought that, you know, it's my segment. So,
but if you're not going to do it, it's your segment. What do you got writers for you now, have you? You've farmed it out, so you've got writers working on one of your segments so you can concentrate on Dave's Corner. Very not that busy. Easy, is it, Dave?
Very, very busy, man.
Yeah!
No, come on. Anyway, James.
Hi, James.
Apprentice Song Whisperer.
Hi. Called off the bench. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Yes, mate. I think we all are.
Yeah. Okay, all right. The name of the subject of this song is unknown, yet they've managed to plant themselves into the consciousness of the singer. Perhaps their name is David Jones?
Okay. So, in order, Jay was the best. Dave was okay, but we've just bottomed out here.
I've really tried on this one.
You've tried to go back to a cerebral kind of...
You don't get that with me.
No, so, with this, I set myself the brief, try not to be too cerebral. So, and I don't think I have.
Oh, what, you've dumbed it down for us, have you?
Oh, thanks, mate.
Thanks, because we know you work on a higher plane than most of us.
Backhander.
I just put a little bit of extra water into the cordial syrup. So, you know, it's not too sugary.
The phones aren't lighting up.
No one's wrong.
Do you want me to do it again?
Okay. Oh, could you?
The name of the subject of this song is unknown, yet they've managed to plant themselves into the consciousness of the singer. Perhaps their name is David Jones.
Is it Maroon 5?
Welcome to 253. Come on.
For the drive home, this is Molloy. Time to gather back around your wireless, people. Here comes the big second hour of Molloy.
It's going to be a beauty. Dom and Knight from The Chaser swings by for a chat. Some huge news involving ScoMo.
Yeah.
He's involved to some extent. It's pretty damn funny. It's another classic bit of Aussie humour done right. We'll get to the bottom of that. Gone Wild.
Yeah.
Two-headed turtle, Dave.
Oh, I'm in.
A two-headed turtle.
Looks adorable, too. Look at it, little thing with its 6 feet.
I hope
they're
not
feet.
At either ends because it's not going to get anywhere, is it? Push, pull. So I can push me, pull your turtle.
That's it. Walking in circles.
All right. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets. So much to get through. Dave, the
soul.
Starting with one of those two segments. This one he farms out to other writers.
So
James, who's writing today's Song Whisperer, because Dave was, I don't know.
I was putting together Dave's Corner, so I was under the pump today.
And you're letting your responsibilities on this show go.
Right.
I'll try and line the point. Yeah!
Oh. There it is.
Give away the song?
No, no, I was still playing the opener. So don't peek behind. I hate how you rake over the coals with things like that. No, there it is. Yeah! Now, James, synopsis.
The name of the subject of this song is unknown, yet they've managed to plant themselves into the consciousness of the singer.
Perhaps
their name is David Jones.
What was that?
Perhaps
give me the clue.
Perhaps their name is David Jones.
All right, sounds a bit twee. But, mock intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Dave's on the line. Dave, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking Tenacious D.
Ah, for the D.
This is not a song.
Tribute.
Saw them live. They were fantastic.
Amazing.
Top shelf. What a show. Another one of a bit of Michael Gudinski genius.
Yeah, right.
Getting the boys out. And Dave?
Well, I'll take it, Dave. Oh. No, incorrect. Sorry, Dave.
Jesus. You're doing the whole thing there.
Thanks for calling, Dave, by the way.
You're doing the whole thing.
Well, Dave doesn't know.
Of course I know what the song is. I'm playing the song bits.
No, Dave, James will do it from here.
Oh, all right, then. Yours, your show, mate.
Anyway.
Yeah!
Okay, Daniel, Cameron Park.
He's doing my bits.
No, you don't go to the call.
Now he's doing my bits.
You do not go to the call.
He's doing your bits and my bits. Have a word. Daniel, song, please.
I'm thinking Ziggy Stardust by Bowie.
Ooh. Why did you say that?
Because the name of the song is the character that he plays song, and David Bowie's real birth name was David Jones.
Jeez, David Jones.
James?
No, you're getting there, but you're not there yet. Right. Sorry, Daniel.
Oh, I'm liking the sound of this. Ken's on the line. Ken, hey, what Ken. Do you say? What are you thinking?
Yeah, g'day, guys. I reckon it's Starman by Bowie.
Oh.
This is ticking a lot of boxes for me, but let's go to Dave. No, James. Yeah. Let's go to James.
Closer than Daniel, but still wrong. Sorry, Ken. No.
Okay.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks for calling. I'm a case of Brick Lane Drive for Ken, for being a good call.
Oh, dear. Jeez. This is all.
What? Take it
this
over?
This is like bizarro world today. And now I'm getting wound up by Whitney. I'm not sure it's for time purposes. she's looking at the biggest shambles that's ever gone to air. Andrew, put us out of our misery.
Yeah, I reckon it's Roll Over DJ by Jet.
Good song.
It could be DJ. That's what we said. Mm. James?
That's correct. You got into my mental kitchen. Well done.
You academic little son of a bitch, James. You've done it again.
You've got my mental kitchen was just said. Unbelievable. Oh, no, I would have done the song.
What's he win, Dave?
Hey, congratulations to you, Andrew, from Point Cook. Great place. You've got yourself $100 worth of grilled burgers, which is available from the Point Cook Town Centre. I know exactly where it is. They're not only the best, but they taste bloody great as well.
Right.
So well done to you. You've got that prize. Let's play the song. All right, here it is. Roll Over DJ from Jet, part of the Song Whisperer. Up next, we're going to be joined by Dom Knight. It's Malloy, Triple M.
Driving you home, this is Malloy.
With Mick Malloy and friend of the show, part of the Chaser as well, is Dom Knight, who's joining us right now.
Hasn't been home since Freedom Day, is my understanding. He's on like a sailor on shore leave, tearing it up. What's the vibe on the ground over there, Dom?
Well, look, we love being free, but it's been raining all week. It's been a bit depressing. Oh, but look, we've breezed right through the 70% restrictions. We're ready for 80%.
Come on
Monday, and the state's really going to go crazy. Mick, if you want to know the priorities of the great state of New South Wales,
yes,
bearing in mind that our new Premier, Dominic Perrottet, Conservative Catholic, the strip clubs are opening and the brothels are opening on Monday. This is, I think, a full week before schools open. So that's the way New South Wales rolls.
That's what I love about Sydney. That's the Sydney I've known and loved over many years.
It's the Sin City. I also noticed in the rules that massage parlours have no number restrictions anymore, so they can accommodate an entire NRL team, which is really nice to see.
I always laughed when they introduced contact tracing, when a brothel said, that's okay, look, we'll be good. Well, but we'll have our contact tracing. I'm going, yeah, I think the whole purpose of going to the brothels that you, no one ever knows ever that you were in attendance. Here's my understanding of how they work. Anyway,
I've heard a lot of people up here use the name Mick Malloy. It's very, very, very popular.
Look, when I want to go to a brothel, I just introduce myself as Matt Preston, and it seems to work. People confuse us occasionally, and I've been getting
put the cravat on. No one can tell. but look, a lot's changed since last we chatted. Things are opening up. We've got a new leadership team, and the new Deputy Premier of New South Wales. His name is Paul Toole. So put a tool in charge. That's what we've done here in New South Wales.
Vote tool, which I love. Now, speaking of politics, I want to get to, because I know you guys are somehow related to this, but firstly, news that our Prime Minister, ScoMo, has agreed he's going to Glasgow. Has to be under the threat of a, I don't know, it's like a hostage video, I think, him announcing he's going to go. Tell me and talk me through comedian Dan Illich and what he did, I think workshopped with you guys, about the GoFundMe page and what he did in New York.
Well, look, Dan has a podcast called Irrational Fear. He's a good mate of ours. We've been working together for many years. He's been on ours. But he started this thing called Joke Keeper. And his whole idea was, let's get some money to make a bit of fuss in Glasgow. So put up all these billboards around the convention site. He wanted 12 grand to do that. And before he knew it, he was at 150 grand. So he's like, what else are we going to do with all this money? A lot of people are fired up about this. I think you kind of Cannon Brooks type people have been chipping in as well. So he's gone, you know what, let's go big. Let's get the biggest billboard in Times Square in the center of New York. This thing is massive, this billboard. Let's put some pictures on it. So we came up with, had a bit of a brainstorm actually on our podcast. Colophile Dundee is supposed to be put up. It's Scott Morrison with the giant lump of coal in the Dundee hat. That's not climate denial. This is climate denial. That a kangaroo that was on fire and all this. You can see the photos. There's like thousands of people underneath this. If you've been to Times Square, the whole thing's lit up and it's the biggest billboard there. So good on him.
Where can people see these images?
Dan Illich's Twitter, but just put it in the web browser, just Dan Illich billboard. There's heaps of them. And he's got apparently this big budget now for mischief. So we're pitching ideas to him to actually film stunts and basically he's the new ABC, Dan. So we're looking at all the stuff we can do to unleash havoc. But we're surprised that Scott Morrison is going. And the backstory is, Mick, Her Majesty, we know that she's not meant to get involved from the Crown, but she said, extraordinary, isn't it? I've been hearing about COP. We don't know who's coming. We only know about people who are not coming, and it's really irritating when they talk, but they don't do. And that was a jab at ScoMo. Yes. A few hours later, he's like, I'm coming, Your Majesty. I'll be there. No, I'm just thinking, imagine if the Queen had said, you know, Scott Morrison, maybe you should order enough vaccines for the whole country.
That would have been a good thing to do. Hold that thought, mate. We're going to come back and speak some more with Dom Knight in just a moment.
This is Malloy.
We are joined by Dom Knight, by the way, the Chaser podcast. You can get it's the Chaser Report, 5 a.m. weekdays it drops, wherever you get your podcast. He's with us right now.
We love the Chaser. And can I just say this? You talked about the biggest billboard in town being New York. It's not. The biggest billboard I've ever seen was the Sydney Opera House, you boys, well, tell us the mischief that you created on that. On the eve of the Everest, I should point out.
So yes.
this is an anniversary of sorts.
Yes, indeed. Speaking of the Everest, I mean, that was the first restriction that was removed is Everest can have a big crowd because that's, you know, horse races you can't get COVID at, apparently. But So the first time the Everest came around, there was a huge fuss because the Opera House was going to be used for the barrier draw. And everyone's kind of like, you can't, this is outrageous. It's kind of a sacred site and they're just using it for horse racing. And Alan Jones absolutely teed off back in the day as he could have been. Just, you know, it's absolutely fine. The Opera House, you can use it as a screen. So what we did was we got a big projector, put it on a trailer, like one of those massive kind of vivid style projectors. And we had a slide with his phone number. If you have a problem with Opera House being used for the Everest, just call Alan Jones on, I don't remember the whole number, but I know that the second half was 873873, which was his call sign at the time. So and we drove all the way to the entrance to the Opera House. I wasn't with Charles, but I was involved in the brainstorming. And they said, nah, you've got to turn around. Now, the beautiful thing about the Opera House is that once you're at the barrier, to turn around, you've actually got to do a U-ey on the edge of the Opera House. So while doing the U-ey, we managed to just stop for a second and project the number on the Opera House. And he had to change his number. He was very upset about all this. And he actually tried a bit of a manoeuvre in the courts with us under the privacy laws. But the great news was the Chaser was so unprofitable that we didn't have to follow them. You had to be about $5 million a year or something to have the privacy laws. We don't make that much money. So it was a lot of fun. And Alan had to change his phone number, I'm afraid to say.
Well, there's always casualties when it comes to war. Yep. Are you going to enjoy the Everest yourself? What are you going to do with your time and your first weekend outside of lockdown? What are you going
to
do?
Well, there's just so much you can do. It's sort of bizarre. I step out of the house and I still have to pinch myself and not wear a mask. But it's all the pub. The pubs are going absolutely crazy. The funerals are going to go crazy too. For a Monday, there's no limit on funerals.
Now you can crash some funerals. Just turn up.
They have put a limit of 10 unvaxxed people at funerals because they don't want more funerals.
Does that include the corpse? Or
I'm not sure. But my favourite thing in all this, as we head into the next phase of this, is that the one thing that unvaccinated people can do from Monday is go to church.
Right.
That's the one right that they have. They can go to church and pray that they don't get COVID. So we're in the new phase where we're opening up, flights are going to come in, we're going to have heaps of COVID. And the strangest thing is, Mick, we can fly to Melbourne from, I think, the 19th of October, and we still won't be able to go to regional New South Wales. I'd rather go to Melbourne, to be perfectly frank with you. I'm fine with that. I'm into
regional New South Wales, there's a lot more happening there than there is here at the moment. The best images I saw, and the most un-Sydney, we've talked about all I love Sydney, it's one of my favourite cities in the world. But I was dismayed when I thought, what are they going to do when they come out of lockdown? And there it is, stroke of midnight, queues out the front of Kmart. I went, no, Sydney, no!
That's all it was. Like, I tried.
Expect more from you.
I put it out on Twitter. Where can you go?
Yeah.
And there's like just the pokies. The things that opened were there was one hairdresser who started doing haircuts. Kmart open and anywhere with pokies. They're like, we're back in business,
that's
baby.
Right.
Bring up the till.
Yeah, you'll be all cashed up because you've had nothing to spend money on. Come on, come on.
Yeah, so obviously I've dumped 3 months' worth of salary in the pokies. You've got it.
No, that's sensible.
Yeah, as a Sydney sider, it's just part of the rules.
That's why when Alan Jones comes for you, you've got no money. It's a problem with the Chaser. Hey, we love your podcast. What can we expect? What's coming down the pike for us?
We haven't talked much about all of this because we've just had the last week off. We're doing all this pre-recorded stuff. So we have to take a big swing at the new bloke, Perrottet. No one knows anything about him. We know more about Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend's ball sack than we do about Dominic Perrottet. And I want to know, is he a bigger or a lesser ball sack than that? That's what we're going to find out.
All right. They'll tune in. Yeah. That'll be fiercely contested on one of the great podcasts. Good on you, Dom.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. It's Malloy on Triple M.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Malloy.
Gone wild. Always good to get into the animal kingdom.
My favourite.
I love it so much. Huge news out of New South Wales. Snake catcher warns he's seeing an increase in fat, venomous reptiles.
All big ones.
At the start of snake season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Dr. Chris Brown talked about this. He said, careful because it's mating season and they're all mating. So, you know, they're up and about.
Yeah.
But they're fat and they reckon they're fat. Due to the mice plague.
Oh, of course. Well, that's been sort of ravaging New South Wales, hasn't it? So lots of food out there, lots of mice to eat.
This guy says he's removed an extra large 6-foot eastern brown snake. That's big for an eastern brown.
6 foot,
from a home. They're fat as a house, these things. So look at the...
Yeah, look at it.
Right, look, that one, look at the skin folds on that.
Yeah.
Look at the... Nah, it's got two chins.
He's real fatty.
It's either a cobra or it's got two chins. That looks bad. You know snakes usually shed their skin?
Yes.
Now they're just busting out of it. It's like the Hulk. Bang! A little pot belly.
You know, I've never seen a snake in the wild, ever, in my 50 years of existence.
That's the type of thing where you go home and get bitten by a snake.
You're right.
Well, at my golf club, I was voted member most likely to be bitten by a tiger snake.
Because you're out in the
bush. That's how much time I spend in
the rough.
The bushes.
Yeah.
So maybe they should rename, there's a new name, the pot-bellied black snake.
little fatties.
You can't even charm one out of the basket. It gets halfway out and it gets puffed.
Nah, can't be bothered.
Don't worry about it. It doesn't even make their sound. It just goes.
It goes.
It sounds like a tyre deflating.
Lazy damn snakes.
You stupid lazy snakes.
Little fatties.
This would be careful. If you know those adult dancers who use a snake, they'll be crushed under the weight. Hey, speaking of fat animals, what about the Otis? I love Otis.
Who's
I love
Otis?
Bears. Four-time champion Otis wins fat bear contest.
Oh, congratulations.
He's the fattest bear. He's won it again, Alaska's Katmai National Park. We got some audio?
The Katmai National Park in southwest Alaska says Otis beat out Walker, and he weighed more than 1,000 pounds. 12 bears were in the running in this online competition. He's around 25 years old and is missing some teeth, but he goes into hibernation ready to live off that newly acclaimed fame.
I think that's high praise for a bear.
Yes.
I mean, because they're all fatties. If you can win a fat bear competition, that's like winning a fat sumo competition. Hey, let's get all the sumos. Nay. What a great. I would love
him,
to be
though.
A bear,
oh, this
Dave.
Is adorable, isn't it? Or would you like to be a bear? Well, you're kind of halfway there.
Well, you know, you just get to hibernate, which is a sleep in.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you get out and you just get as fat as you can.
Yeah.
And then you go back to bed. What? You can't do it. And you raid people's picnic baskets. I mean, that's all there is to it.
It's not a bad
Why
life.
Why can't I be a bear? All right, let's go to Indonesia,
What's happening there?
Well, this is a story that, wow. A woman has cooked her husband's lucky pet fish to punish him, teach him a lesson because she thought he was being lazy.
Okay.
Guess how much the fishes were?
I don't know. If it's an expense, $100.
$300,000, and you can see it frying in a pan.
Oh, that's a horrible thing to do.
Well,
Dave, that's his pet fish.
There it is. Now, Dave, I know you don't like paying a lot of money for fish and chips.
I do not.
But if someone said $300,000, Dave, you'd expect him to throw in a couple of potato cakes.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? When I balked at $56 for fish and chips, and it was more chips and Tim Sims than fish. Not a chance, $300,000.
Would you batter it? You'd batter that fish.
Look at it. It's just frying in a bloody vat of oil.
And,
poor thing.
I mean,
that's a terrible thing to do.
I like that she's making her point, but wow.
That's a horrible thing to do. I had a cousin who had a goldfish, and her sister always threatened that she'd put the egg beater in there just to teach her a lesson. She never did it. It's just one of those kind of things you do as a kid. It's like, you misbehave, I'll put an egg beater in the goldfish bowl.
So, there's guys at uni, there's a party at uni, and a guy put strips of carrot into a fish tank.
Yeah.
And in the middle of a party, he just rolled up his sleeve, went in, pulled it out, and started wobbling it, and it looked like a goldfish.
Of course.
And swallowed it. They went bonkers.
You would. That's my goldfish. Terrible thing. $300,000. That's ridiculous.
Hey, and to take us out.
What else is there?
There's a two-headed baby turtle.
Is there?
Rare two-headed diamondback turban turtle is alive and kicking.
Yep.
With all its six legs. Let's have a listen.
The Cape Wildlife Center says the diamondback terrapin hatched at a protected nesting site and the two heads can be attributed to a condition called bicephaly caused by genetic or environmental factors. This specific turtle has two heads, six legs, and the other body parts are shared. After 2 weeks of care, the turtle is eating, swimming, and gaining weight.
I think you got a bout of bicephaly, didn't you, Dave?
All right.
Was that you or is that somebody else?
That's the segment, I think.
I'm not done. What? Listen, look at the photo. It's got one shell.
Yes.
But two heads.
So where the legs would normally come out, looks like there's two heads popping out of the leg shells there.
There's two heads out of the shell.
Yeah.
And for a turtle, that'd be like flat shearing.
You
know
right.
what I mean? You'd have to start naming your food.
Got six legs.
Stuff. Cop that, Ninja Turtles.
Hey,
cop that, Michelangelo.
That's it.
Just see your second head, you dick. Let's just get out.
It's Malloy on Triple A.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Thanks to Ladbrokes, and you can Ladbroke at this spring carnival. Of course, gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Right, time to Andy Up, team. Let's go. Who's got the app? The fastest, best, most powerful app in the history of gambling,
Lightning
racing,
fast.
Stroke, betting.
Yeah.
It's the business. It's the bomb.
It's the best.
We've got it in a hot little hand. It's the Everest.
Mm.
Let's get ready to rumble, guys,
we're
this
do
weekend.
It?
Let's take a blended bet. This, of course, means we can take a number of different horses. Let's all pick a horse in the Everest, blend it, get the odds, and then make that our standing bet for the richest race on turf.
So we all get to pick a horse together. This is going to be fun.
I'll start.
All right, what do you got?
I'm going to go Eduardo.
Eduardo?
Why have you chosen that? Eddie McGuire, who I've work with a bit. Whenever he's in trouble, I go, now, Eduardo. So for that reason, I'm throwing in Eduardo. Who else? Come on, guys.
I'm going to go Lost and Running because it's a song by Powderfinger, which I really like. I'm still lost and running. And it's also written by Huey Beaumont too. So I'm going for that one today. Lost and Running for me.
I'm going to go Wild Ruler.
Why?
I don't know. I just think it's fitting.
Mind you, Whitney has forms. You did get us across the line with who?
At Wits End.
At Wits End, yeah.
All right. Once again, betting on the names. Michaela, please.
I'm going to go The Masked Crusader. It just sounds good. I like it.
The Masked Crusader? Like a superhero?
Yeah.
Like a superpower? Like Zorro?
Yeah.
Yeah? Wait. Jesus.
Zorro. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's it.
Jeez.
Yeehaw. Beg your pardon.
There's a big M in my butt. Maddie, what are you doing? Maddie,
I'll go Guy Trash, I think. I don't think he'll waste the inside barrier.
Jesus. Some serious racing analysis. He's on.
No, I just Googled it.
No, you just Googled it. That's the way. And James.
Oh, look, I want to get some value. I'm going a bit long here, but chat.
Okay, I'm going to have a guess and say that's probably starting about 150 to 1.
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
Well done, James.
Oh, my God. Well done. Once
okay,
again.
Blend it up. Blend it up. And what have we got?
All blended up. The odds are $2.02.
Okay.
Let's
like
do it.
Yep.
Let's take it. And we will ride to the gates of oblivion on the horse that wins and go bonkers with our money.
Unbelievable. What do you reckon? All right, well, app is ready to go. James has got it, and it took him just, a matter of seconds to do it there.
A matter of seconds to blend it all, and I've got a stake of 50 bucks in.
Oh, perfect. All right. Yeah. Nice. Happy days coming from the Maloy team.
Unbelievable the way. That's how easy it is.
Simple.
And you're in the fun. You've got some friends. You're all going, heading in the one direction. This is great news for any punter out there. The blended bet, don't forget the same race multi. There's Caulfield Cup. There's Everest.
Yeah.
It's all happening.
Big
I'm overexcited. Luckily, Ladbrokes have done all the heavy lifting for us and got us the most powerful app ever
invented for racing. Well done. Ladbroke at this spring carnival. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. It's Malloy on Triple M.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
Just about done for another day and another week. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've had a good week this week, Malloy.
We've had a great week. Yeah. Let down by some of your behaviour on Dave's Corner.
Well, see, that doesn't go to air. That's sort of off-Broadway a bit, though. I mean, on
air. If
you
want to listen to a nice, wholesome podcast, listen to Malloy, which is on all your, wherever you listen to your podcast.
Listener or
that's
wherever.
That's great, including Listener. Mm. That's right. Oh, and you can go as a little sidebar if you're game, if you're not squeamish, if you're an adult. And go to Dave's Corner, which yesterday was a disgrace.
I got a lot of feedback
was
yesterday.
Just, you know, as a broadcaster of many decades.
Of course, yeah, I know.
I've never heard such offensive nonsense. you really lowered the bar.
Indeed. And that's really
scraping already pretty low in FM radio.
No, that's true. That's right.
It's not, you can't, you've actually dug through the floor.
I'm sorry about that. And I do feel bad.
And today is not really cleaning it up.
Not far off what happened yesterday. Yeah.
Although it is historical.
It is.
And for fans of the greatest radio character to ever appear on radio.
Yes.
You've outed him.
Yeah, have. Yeah, this is a part two of one of the biggest questions of nighttime radio in the history of Australian broadcasting. So it's
a lot of people will rest easy after they listen to this.
Exactly.
Well done, Dave.
All right, that's Dave's Corner. That'll be episode 25 up after Malloy, which our podcast will be up in just a moment. Hey,
yes.
Enjoy your weekend. Back again next week to Drive Young. Nick Natanui is going to be on the show next week. He's awesome.
Love him.
Got his new book coming out too. Also, Adam Rosenbart's friend of this show, Neroli Meadows. We've got Nate Valvo, regulars as well. Jim Jeffries joining us. Titus O'Reilly as well. That's all next week. Drive you home. Enjoy your weekend. Malloy, Triple M.
This has been the Malloy Drive Show podcast. Putting a bet on with Ladbrokes is as fast as tap, tap, boom. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.